Ooh, Freakonomics.
Oh boy, I bet you can guess what's coming now. Stephen Dubner, our co-author of the Freakonomics book and New York Times blog, joins us. He's just back from the Republican National Convention in St. Paul. So good morning to you, Stephen.
Good morning. You have to pay for the use of that
you
music?
Got your own theme now?
What's the deal?
Who's your agent, dude?
Anyhow, we're going to move on to talking about things that you know best. Vice presidential picks, election outcomes. This is a year for betting people who just love predictions, right?
Yeah, I wanted
economists
to talk about...
might be among them, but there are some folks who take it a bit further than just friendly banter. They're just betting on everything, and they call it a market prediction, a prediction market.
Prediction market is it's a catchphrase. Well, it's an umbrella phrase that talks about, as you said, these markets that try to predict the future. Now, the stock market is essentially a prediction market. We kind of know how that works. There's also gambling, which is, bookmaking, which is a prediction market. You want to predict which horse is going to come in first. But
I mean, Lloyd's of London is kind of a prediction market,
well,
too. Insurance.
Exactly. Right. That's exactly right. So there's a huge history of people trying to make profit by predicting the future. No surprise there. What's happened in the last 8 or 10 years, however, is an academic or kind of wonky bent has come to the field where prediction markets are set up to try to gauge future events like political elections, okay? So there's a famous one, the Iowa Electronic Betting Market. That's not exactly the right name. Iowa Electronic Market, I guess, which is set up by political scientists. But now we have prediction markets where people can wage real money on political outcomes. So how this is interesting and different is this. Unlike the punditocracy, unlike polling, unlike most of the ways that we have to gather information about election outcomes, these use inside information and people can profit from it, okay? So it's different than the stock market where we forbid insider trading. This is trying to encourage the smartest information to come forward and to try to profit from it. Therefore, prediction markets have a better outcome of predicting future elections than just about any other measure.
Didn't John Poindexter in the Bush administration get in trouble trying to set up a prediction market for terror?
Yeah, that was really interesting and wild. It didn't last long. It was DARPA set up a futures terrorism market. And the idea was exactly this. Let's make a market where people can profit by giving us good information that we can then profit from. But politically, that was a huge firebomb.
Let's get back to what you were talking about specifically. Are they accurate?
Yeah.
When you're talking about allowing all kinds of information, but clearly politics is far different than the market. Inside information in the market might, have a greater percentage of predicting the outcome. But in a political campaign, opening up all of the information to this calculation, is it more reliable?
The short answer is yes. The short answer is compared to our current standards of polling and pundits, it is more reliable. Now, there are all kinds of limitations. Sometimes there's very low volume. Intrade is one of the big markets. It's set up in Dublin. Intrade, in fact, posted a couple days ago a contract on the likelihood that Sarah Palin would be removed from the ticket before the election.
It's down today, I bet.
It is down today, although not as significantly as you might think. But yeah, the highest it ever got was about a 20% chance that she would be removed. Then it plummeted. It's now hovering a little bit below 10. So not likely at all, but plainly, 1 out of 10 people think that's so.
Well, what else did you do at the convention?
Well, I tried to, talk to a lot of people about what kind of, if the prediction market is trying to figure out the future, one of the things you don't know is what kind of surprises can happen, right? So I did want to ask people, we know the classic October surprise we talk about with Reagan,
right.
Carter, and
the hostage situation.
Right.
Yeah.
So I asked people at the GOP convention, if you had a magic wand, these were mostly delegates I was asking, if you had a magic wand, you could wave it, produce any October surprise that you wanted that would guarantee that your candidate would win, what would it be? Here are their replies.
I guess if I could just take a wand and make it happen, I'd have something to do with the economy.
I would want the surprise to be the true worth of each candidate to really surface.
Well, that is such a creative question. That truly is. I don't think I've ever been asked about October surprise. I think the best surprise is no surprise.
I would love to see McCain elected on the issues and no surprises.
You are so creative, Stephen Dubner.
Big points for that, right? Yeah, that and
$4.50. We noticed that you kept that in. Yeah, we noticed that you kept that bit of
That was the producer kept it in, but thanks for noticing.
Speaking of prediction markets, we've had one of our own, the Veep Stakes, on our website, thetakeaway.org, and we have two winners now that the whole Veep thing has been settled. Alex Whipperman joins us from Waverly, Iowa, and Brett Edsel joins us from Xenia, Ohio. Alex, you won on what pick?
My choice for vice president was Joe Biden on the Dem side, and then I had Mitt Romney on the Republican side.
And Brent Edsel, what was your claim to fame?
Well, at first I came into it because I thought Sarah Palin would get chosen. In the end, I had all my money on Eric Cantor, though.
And the winning, though, for you is you made enormous amounts of money because you were betting what other people, you were staying ahead of what other people thought was going to be the outcome. But, Brent, in your case, you also actually at one point picked Sarah to be the Veep.
That's right. I from the beginning, I thought, well, she might not be the best qualified. She seemed like she was the best candidate in an election where it seemed like a woman needed to be on the ticket. None of the candidates had executive experience, and here she was a governor, and being in Alaska, she's sitting on so much oil and natural resources. It seemed like a natural.
Now, it's not real money that you won, but Alec, your portfolio of fake takeaway money, how did that appreciate?
Well, it did pretty good. It started out kind of slow, but it picked up as I slowly caught onto the trends in the market and did a better job of following along with the news and staying ahead of the game. Came up somewhere, I think, a little short of $3
trillion. $3 trillion. Nice work. You get
we'll
the Lexus, Alec.
We'll send a check
Alec.
To you in the mail, Alec.
No, Alec.
That'd be appreciated.
Alec, are you better at inside information, or are you better at feeling your gut when you bet on these things?
I think I did a better job when I was keeping better track of the blogs and trying to stay ahead of you guys in terms of the stock price updates.
Brent, how about you? Gut or inside information? What's your secret?
A lot of it was inside information. and I would watch late-night news, and then I would run down to my computer and change my investments around.
So we really see in your victory here, in your precise experience, exactly what Dubner was saying over here, Dubby, our Freakonomics dude, that basically what the prediction market does is it takes information and refines it and sort of floats it to the top so that the prediction actually is pretty decent. What's your next step, guys, Alec and Brent?
Yeah, who are you picking on the tickets between Biden and Obama and Palin and McCain? Alec?
Well, I worked for Barack Obama in the Iowa caucuses, and I'm going to stick with him, so I'm going to back him there.
Brent, you want to try to predict Paris Hilton's husband?
I can't do that, but I came at this as a Republican, and like I said, I had Palin from the start, so I think she's the Republican's Obama, and I think she's going to put McCain over the edge.
Wow. Alec Whipperman and Brent Edsel, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I'd like to know what kind of October surprises these guys would predict, right? Because when you care a lot about a candidate, you think of the strengths, you think of the weaknesses, you know. So we solicited some replies from our blog readers since we got pretty bland replies from the GOP delegates. Not surprisingly. I mean, I wouldn't want to go on the record either. So, you know, McCain falling asleep during a debate
seems to be a pretty pro-Obama. Biden sex change operation. Did
well,
choose that?
Here's one that I like from our reader. There's a physical
where do you come up with this
a physical stuff? Altercation at the debate between Biden and Palin, and she wins.
Right, Stephen Dubner. Thanks for being with us. Freakonomics blogster, author Stephen Dubner on our show all the time with his own theme song now, and lots of ways to catch up with us at the Takeaway. You can find us on Twitter, Friend Feed, and Facebook. I'm John Hockenberry,
and I'm Adora Udoji, and this is the Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.